Welcome back to Reflections. This is your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And at the end of the last segment, we were talking about David Skeel presentation on his new book, Promised Land, and comments on it. And he was mentioning that the big major, challenge at this moment is a restructuring of PREPA because this Golden Tree Asset Management is purchased, and they're tough. They purchased the bonds at pretty low discount, and they're fighting to get everything they can. And he says that says the two choices right now. He doesn't think there's going to be an agreement, and one is for the judge, Laura Taylor Swan, to finish her analysis and make a determination, what's called probably a cram down, where this is the most that the PREPA can provide, and this is what you're going to have to accept. Of course, he says that unfortunately that will probably lead to additional appeals, and so it's going to be a time. And just the other scenario is even probably worse, is that there's a change in the persons on the board, and similar to Justin Peterson, the presentations and articles on the book, he really pans Justin Peterson as someone who was kind of was on the side of the bondholders and was on the board, really sabotaging everybody and providing information to the bondholders. And so he says, the other thing is that that kind of a persons are the ones that end up on the board, and really from his point of view would create havoc for us. There's a lot of Mayra Montero and his presentation, on Justin Peterson are pretty tough on him. The one interesting and just as a funny story was that when Mitch McConnell was the one who nominated him, they nominated the Senate and at the House various people. Then it was Obama would then choose from these people, and plus his own candidates. And he said with Mitch, when Mitch Miller asked him, what would be your strategy, it says, well, to win over the people of Puerto Rico towards what we have to get done. And Mitch Miller said, Mitch McConnell said, forget it, you're going to be so hated by everybody. This is going to be the worst, job you ever take. So, these people who undertook this job, and one of them is my niece. Ana Matosantos, and we took a picture, my brother and I, with David Skeel, who thinks highly of Ana, and sent it to her. But anyway, it's one of the things that there was they don't get paid, and it's arduous work, and they've been really hated by Puerto Rico, by a lot of Puerto Ricans. I haven't been in that group. In terms of one interesting kind of a side thing, a little bit, but it's in the Atlantic, there was an interesting article, The Great Chinese Oil Mystery, and by Roger Karma. And this is an article, July 29th. And basically, it's an analysis of a mystery as to why China, that had been, importing and imports so much oil during this whole crisis with the Strait of Hormuz, has stopped importing, and because of that, the prices of oil, which could have gone up to 150 or 200, have remained 100. And it goes into various possible reasons why China has done that, but has no conclusion as to what the real reason is. And it's a mystery as to why China, helped the world economy by not purchasing and importing oil during this critical moment, but using its reserves. My guess is that it wanted to make sure that its export market was still viable, and it used the reduction in its purchases to damper down a little bit the crisis that would have happened if they had kept on buying at the rates that they usually purchase oil. It could have been said, I think the other thing is that it was tough to get oil during that period. But, it's the great Chinese oil mystery, a great article in the Atlantic. I was saying Skeel, mentioned that normally given the ELA and everything, it would have been, diplomatically speaking, at least. And, of course, if you follow the U.S. Supreme Court description of the compact and the bilateral agreements that develop our Constitution and the Commonwealth, that it would have been ideal to get the support, the approval of the Puerto Rico legislature or referendum in Puerto Rico, but that was pragmatically not achievable. It would be lengthy and complicated and probably wouldn't happen. And the matters were just, it was an emergency, an utter emergency at the particular time. So they went ahead and did it. But and it's a story that, I remember whether this Commonwealth status, 600, and when the United Nations, that it was bilateral, and it says in the nature of a compact. And I remember the young associate in McConnell Valdez and Herbert McConnell, the two named partners. One of them was Herb McConnell. He came in a couple of times and he sort of sat down in my office, and he did it a couple of times. And he said, George, and he called me Georgie boy. This if it says in the nature of a compact, that really means it's not a compact, right? And it had nothing to do with any legal work we were doing. It was just, he was kind of just egging me on, and I kind of bumbled, etc. Well, I think in the nature of compact means that it's a kind of compact, and it is binding. I don't know. They should have just used the compact. So I remember that, and that's an area that I've always considered as a possible weakness in the whole thing, but. The development by Sotomayor and her dissent in the Sanchez Valle case goes in a lot of detail into how the position that as a territory, that we are a territory, but that the Congress, if it can dispose of the territory, can also delegate rights of the territory. And she goes into that if with that delegation of rights through the law 600 and the Constitution and what happened in 52, she understands that it's binding on future Congresses. They can't set that aside. It's kind of like you can't give independence, or you can't give away certain things, and then respect to retract on it. Probably difference of opinion, but that's her opinion. And she cites cases and all, understands that clearly that there was a bilateral agreement, and because of that, in her dissent in the Sanchez Valle case, she says that we can't unilaterally, the Congress can't unilaterally take away the self-government and what has been determined and given to Puerto Rico pursuant to law. And it's that decision, which is a you know, extensive. That's not her dissenting opinion. It's not the decision of the court. Is worth reading. In terms of that particular issue, is it a bilateral compact? And she cites, you know, that the U.S. went to the United Nations and said it was bilateral, and all. So, you know, it's kind of a treatise on that issue of Commonwealth in terms of the compact. And the question that Herbert McConnell asked me, if it's in the nature of a compact, is it a compact? Is it a contract? Is it an agreement? Chief would say clearly it is. But that issue hasn't been, you know, clearly faced by Puerto Rico courts, by the Supreme Court on it. What I do understand is that, where at least my opinion, in terms of whether we're calling or not, and regardless of what the analysis, you know, the Supreme Court, we can, and I respect anybody who says that Commonwealth and what we don't have the right to elect the president, we don't have voting members in Congress, that is, you know, tantamount to a colony, and we don't have the kinds of powers that we should have, and I respect that position, you know. But what I kind of have a trouble is if you're a statehooder and you believe in the U.S. and all, why and even the U.S. why argue that we are a colony? Or that we're imperialistic, or that we don't have the civil rights, or that all we have to really do is say this is what was agreed to, this is what accepted, and there were independents and there were statehooders when that was undertaken in the 52-53, and you know, I don't think that this is the status that it works and that we should have, and we should be a state, and the same thing with the Estado Libristas, the Commonwealthers. You know, this is what we've agreed. This is what has been, you know, our status, which probably will continue to be our status. I think it's not what I want it to be, and it doesn't have the powers that I think we should have, and we. You know, it's got to be improved, or otherwise, I think we should be independent. And then you reach an agreement, which is the free associated states with the U.S. is an independent entity, or an independent not having a relationship with the U.S. It's just what I get upset with is adjectives that are really not necessary, and are not respectful, and not, I don't think, helpful to resolve the, you know, problems. And that's the same thing happens with negotiations among us and, you know, with our friends and even with our enemies. Always, you know, based on principles instead of adjectives. I was saying to a client, I said, you know, without epithets, they're not necessary. Just, you know, what is your position? You don't have to say somebody's a liar. You don't have to say it's a colonist, it's a annexionista, just what is your position with respect to that, and if we can't agree to disagree, without the epithets and the adjectives that aren't required. I want to end with a thought. There was an article on Remedio esas sobrecargas sensorial, the difference. This was a 2nd of August, difference between overstimulated versus overwhelmed, and the difference, one is internal, the other one is external. Overwhelmed is internal, and overstimulated is external. But I've sort of had with a person the thought that in which I feel sometimes the fear of burnout, of you know, you're overwhelmed. I call it burnout, and I call that it's because of being overburdened. Burnout, overburdened, kind of a sounds kind of similar. I like that sound. And we have to just be careful that we're not overburdened, and then we burn out and not be, you know, effective. So take care of yourself. Balance your life in all regards. Make sure you don't burn out and you keep yourself in vigor and effective. So take care. We'll be back next week. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.